together to fight for what we love.
And a significant amount of privilege and power over other groups.
You're listening to
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
Consider the Alternative.
A CITR podcast.
I'm going nowhere. All right. 50% louder. I'm going nowhere. Said I'm going nowhere. Well, I'm going nowhere. Said I'm going nowhere.
Hi, I'm Imogen Hayes, and right now you're listening to the dulcet tones of singer Luke Wallace live at the Climate Strike on May 3rd, 2019.
Said I'm going nowhere. Now I'm all for peace, fighting with words. If you ain't gonna listen, then you're gonna get burned. I'm a non-violent anti-petroleum man. In my non-violent anti-petroleum band, if you can't join in, we'll sing it louder than most. You stay out of my rivers, get the hell off my coast.
I'm new to Vancouver. I'm an exchange student from the UK, and I've been studying at UBC for just one semester, so I feel pretty new to my surroundings still. Shortly after I arrived, the motion to declare climate emergency was passed unanimously by City Council on January 17th. When I first caught wind of this, I thought it was a pretty encouraging development. I wasn't alarmed necessarily by the severity of the wording, because personally, I already feel pretty waterlogged by my own climate angst. And in my head, there was already a climate emergency, so good to see that reflected in the outside world.
I'm going nowhere. Where the earth meets the ocean, ground meets the sky, I'm touching salt water to the day I die.
I'm 21. I'm an English literature and theatre student. I graduate next year, and in an ideal world, I'd want to go into, air quotes, the industry. Whether that be TV or theatre. Yet, I'm at a point where I'm feeling just a little bit incapacitated by the scale and immediacy of the crisis, and kind of struggling to reconcile my aspirations to work in this ostensibly quite carbon-intensive industry with my compulsion to address the climate crisis. I probably don't just speak for myself when I say I think I've taken on more than my fair share of climate angst. And that's not to say that I use that anxiety to propel myself into climate activism. I don't, unfortunately, have this kind of monomaniacal devotion, but it is kind of a constant background noise in my head. I am constantly thinking about climate change.
Earth meets the ocean, the ground meets the sky, I'll be touching salt water till the day I die. Let's go, come on!
I got to a point, though, where my climate angst was all I could really talk to people about, whether that be in the classroom or at parties. And I've definitely upset a few apple carts just by talking about my climate angst in inappropriate spaces. There was a very memorable barbecue last summer where I brought up this article about the voluntary human extinction movement in the US, and I started talking about the ethics of bringing new life into the world, and that palpably soured the air. That's not your standard barbecue pitter-patter, just FYI. I was told by my friends to get off my high horse, essentially, and then they threw my high horse on the barbecue and they devoured it. Anyway, moving away from the summer barbecue. When I look at where we are now, with the IPCC report telling us we have just over a decade to radically transform the way we live and drastically reduce our carbon emissions, I think I'm fortunate to have been afforded a childhood in which the climate crisis, or the much softer sounding global warming, as it was more commonly referred to then, was only a peripheral anxiety. Of course, we should have been more worried about it then, but 20 years ago, it was much easier to procrastinate worrying about the climate crisis. Not to mention, our governments were almost unanimously in denial, and oil companies were spending hundreds of millions to convince the public that the threat was not real. I can only imagine how fucking terrifying it is to be a kid or a teenager now, and how annihilating it must be to know we only have 11 years to act. I was wondering what it's like to be a kid or a teenager today, so I went along to the climate strikes to chat with young people and young climate activists and was eager to know whether they're able to retain hope in the face of the climate crisis and how they're bracing themselves for a future that seems so uncertain. The youth climate strikes in Vancouver have been organised by the Sustainabilities, and they've been inspired by the wider global movements, so Fridays for Future, helmed by Greta Thunberg, and the Extinction Rebellion protests. The first climate strike in Vancouver was back in December last year, and they've continued every month since then. So on May 3rd, protesters congregated in their hundreds at Vancouver's art gallery in Hutlunk Square. It certainly feels like a mass movement when you're standing in the middle of it, yet Vancouver's population is almost 700,000, so I think we can definitely push for a bigger turnout. This strike is not just for school kids, remember. They need all the support and representation they can get from you adults, too. The march took us from Hutlunk Square to the Ministry for the Environment and Climate Change, where we stopped and the Sustainabilities read the following demands.
About bold emissions reduction.
The separation of oil and state.
A just transition to renewable energy and sustainable transportation.
Environmental rights.
Indigenous rights.
The conservation of biodiversity.
And the protection of vulnerable groups.
Rebecca Hamilton is a grade 11 student at Lord Byng Secondary in Vancouver and was one of the first people to bring the youth strikes to the Lower Mainland. She organised the school strikes for climate emergency on January 16th of this year, which was in direct response to Councillor Christine Boyle's motion to declare climate emergency. Here is Rebecca reading an open letter to Vancouverites.
We are sending a message to our entire country, to the entire world, that change is coming because it needs to be. We are teenagers. We should be excited for our future, not worried about everything collapsing. It is not fair that we have to be here today, but the decisions of previous generations have meant that we have no choice. Because unfortunately, we all know how climate crisis feels. We've all experienced the suffocating grip of tree ash in our lungs. We now talk about wildfire season. This is not normal. But what scares me most about those weeks of hazy skies is not the smell. It's the feeling of being trapped. When the stars at night and the house down the street are masked by the wall of brown, I feel the same way I do when I think about our future. Climate crisis means that we can't clearly see down the path of our life. The actions of those with power means that we have no idea what our world will look like 20 years from now. Today, tens of thousands of youth are at events just like this one, standing up for climate justice. And a couple of hours ago, Trudeau hosted a town hall as part of the Canadian Youth Summit happening in Ottawa. He was in for a surprise. A climate striker there organized over half of the attendees at the event to do a die-in and read a speech demanding stronger action on climate emergency. I think he got our message. And he better have, because we have a federal election coming up this October. We are going to make climate action the priority. So we're setting an assignment for federal political parties. They need to hand in their climate plans to us by a due date of July 1st. We're pretty used to due dates, aren't we? We're students. So our leaders need to be doing what we learn in school. And then after that, we're going to create a report card by marking each platform on a rubric of our seven demands, which we read earlier. We want politicians to know that they are not a legitimate or rational option unless they have a science-based and justice-centered plan to stop climate catastrophe.
After the march, I got to speak to Salwa, another member of the Sustainabilities.
What's your name?
My name is Salwa Namir.
So can you tell me about how it went down today, how the protest went?
Today it went really well. We had a great turnout. At least 1,000, if not more, people showed up, and tons of students missing school to really support this important cause.
So do you feel galvanized by the turnout today?
Yes, I am. I'm incredibly excited, and like the wonderful turnout really, I think it inspires me. Like, it's not just like me that cares, like it's tons of people that care. So it's really nice to see a bunch of diverse people coming together to fight for one cause.
Yeah, and tell me what you're doing here in this station.
So right here we have a climate ribbon thing where people can come up and on the ribbon they write down what they'd hate to lose because of climate change. So whether that be like their community or like the nature around them, whatever is important to them.
And do days like today make you feel optimistic about the future?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel optimistic a lot of the time, some of the time, not very often?
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it can be discouraging, especially since being young, and sometimes I do feel like, oh, there's nothing like we can do as youth. Like if the government makes up their mind, they make up their mind. But it's really important to like keep going, and this turnout today has truly been inspiring.
I chatted to some of the young people who were writing on their ribbons.
My name's Olivia.
And you are how old?
I'm 10 years old.
And tell me what you wrote on your ribbon.
I wrote that I don't want to lose nature because I love it, and I really hope it doesn't get overflowed with all the pollution and plastic.
And did you do the protest today?
Yes.
And how did it make you feel?
I feel like it's making a difference.
Yeah?
Like, all these people that are doing it, they're, like, taking a lot. They're making these signs, and I feel like everyone's putting a lot of work into it, so I think it might work.
It makes you feel hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people listen to you today?
Yes.
You think Vancouver is listening?
Yeah.
Great. Hiya, what's your name?
Luna.
Luna, and how old are you?
8.
And what are you scared to lose because of climate change?
My cat.
Your cat. Because it might get too hot. I'm laughing here, but my cat legitimately died in the heat last summer. It's a very real threat. Rest in peace, little one. I hope your cat will be okay. Hello, what's your name?
I'm Linnea, but I'm representing my class, who cannot come today.
Okay, what school do you go to?
Laura Secord.
Okay, and what makes you so passionate about wanting to stop climate change?
Well, I really love the earth and nature, and I don't want it to all disappear. And I know for the next coming generations, the way we're going, it'll be awful for all of our children.
And how old were you when you first started worrying about climate change?
I don't know. I've always been really passionate about nature, but I think I first started to be sort of more aware of climate change when I was around 7 or 8.
It's a lot of responsibility when you're 7 and 8.
It kind of is.
Yeah. Saleha Denemi was one of the youngest speakers at the event and spoke on the potential to reduce our carbon emissions by switching to a plant-based diet.
I'm a 12-year-old vegan in 7th grade. Scientists say we only have 11 years before the effects of climate change is irreversible. That means when I am the age of 23, there will be nothing left for me to do except face our doom. It sounds a bit dramatic, but that's because it is. Our fate has been handed to us. We need to do something about it, for us and for the generations ahead of us. Everybody knows of Greta Thunberg, right? The brave girl who inspired this whole global movement. She is our top climate activist, but she's also vegan. When that word comes to people, sometimes people cringe. I know, especially I did before I was vegan. I also thought tree hugger and extremist, but I also learned how easy it is to make simple swaps for alternatives that wouldn't harm any animals or this earth nearly as much. It needs to be something in our conversation. Thank you.
I'm a vegan myself for environmental reasons, and I think veganism has brought the climate crisis to the forefront of my mind in day-to-day life. Cutting out meat from your diet, if you can, or at least making reductions and incorporating some plant-based alternatives into your diet is absolutely fundamental to the fight against climate change. Of course, there's also the small task of overturning capitalism and taking on the 100 corporations who are responsible for 71% of carbon emissions. But earlier this month, scientists at the UN released a report urging that we drastically cut back the amount of meat and dairy we consume. It's a really polarizing part of the debate, I think, and Saleha actually let on that she was told to cut back significantly on the plant-based portion of her speech because it was deemed too likely to divide the crowd. But I think she was absolutely right to urge those who are able to make that change to a plant-based diet. Both Soleil and Ivy are doing important work in their school in Abbotsford in encouraging their classmates to attend the strikes and, believe it or not, have had to talk their teachers around to letting them raise awareness about the strikes in school.
Hi guys, can you tell me your names and ages, please?
Yeah, I'm Soleil Denemy. I am of the age of 12.
Hi, I'm Ivy Hanford and I am 15.
And why are you guys striking today?
I'm here because I want my future and it can't be stolen from us from past generations. And climate change is our number one problem because it will doom all of us. It will topple all problems.
Is it getting people talking in school with strikes?
Yes, oh my gosh. So I actually had our principal say no to talking about the climate strike in school 3 times before he said yes. And finally he said yes, and so me and another girl named Jasmine, we went to all the classes to talk about the climate strike and to encourage them to come. So all in all, I think we had 75 people from our school, and we have 400 in total, so it's almost like a quarter of the school, which is pretty cool. And I think the secretary was like getting annoyed of people being like, I'm excused for block 4 and 5. So that's pretty cool. Because when I gave her my note in the middle, at lunchtime, she was already like, what are you doing? You know, I'm getting the impression that she got a lot of them.
So do you get in trouble at school?
Get in trouble for striking? No. Because we got permission, as long as we said, like, the school has nothing to do with it at all. Mm-hmm. We weren't allowed to put out posters in the hallways, but we got to tell people about it and keep the talking. And I think that one of the ideas that I wanted to do was secretly put them in the girls' bathroom, like, stalls, because no one's going to rat you out, and no, like, it's not like the principal will go in there because he's a guy. And so, yeah, that's cool.
Does that make you really angry that you're not allowed to put posters up?
Yeah, because it's like, we're taught about everything we need to know in the future of our school, but do we also need to know that doom is coming towards us? Like, we're taught, like, in the future you're gonna have this job and this is helping you learn for what's coming in the future for university, for college if you do go to it. But it's like, will the world be okay enough for me to go to university, for me to go to college, for me to have a future anyway?
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you guys want to do when you're older?
I'm going to be a vegan baker.
A vegan baker? Brilliant.
Yeah.
What about you?
I am not completely sure yet, which is kind of terrifying because every day it feels like I have less and less time, but I'm leaning towards a veterinarian.
But is that something you spend a lot of time worrying about, what you're going to be able to do?
Yeah, and also like what I will have time for. Like, I don't want to spend my entire life working towards a career that I might only be able to have for a few years, and then I'll be unable to continue doing it, or I'll need to fight for the climate because it'll just be getting worse and worse gradually.
Are you proud to be from Vancouver or from BC, should I say?
I'd say BC. I'm proud to be from BC, maybe not Vancouver. I mean, I like the not so main parts of Vancouver, like where there's like buildings everywhere and you can't see anything. Like, I live on a hill by the Peony, so I like being in the city but not in like downtown. I don't like downtown.
And do you feel there's been any change in the conversation since the climate emergency declaration?
I don't think Abbotsford has declared climate emergency. If they did, then I would be really surprised.
Disappointingly, on June 25th of this year, Abbotsford declined to declare a climate emergency.
And Langley is still fighting hard to try to declare a climate emergency. They went to a council meeting recently and it got postponed till next fall.
Good news on this front. Langley declared a climate emergency at the end of July this year.
So do you have anything you want to say to city councillors in Vancouver?
You can always do more, and you need to keep doing more because we haven't finished dealing with this problem yet, and there's always something else that we can do. We can, you know, put up more poster boards and things that actually create change instead of just making profit.
They need to keep doing more. It, like, I guess it's starting now, but it is far from the end. There is way more that needs to be done.
We need to do all we can to amplify the voices of Vancouver's young people. The young activists I spoke to at the march seem to have climate anxiety in their DNA, but they're not just going to watch their futures be taken away. Do go along to the next climate strike. Your presence there really makes a difference. Thanks for listening to this installment of Consider the Alternative. Reporting and editing of this episode were done by me, Imogen Hayes, with support from Kaylee Higgs. This song is called Discat All Prepared 1 Mix 13 by Aphex Twin. Also with special thanks to the Sustainability Teens for all the good work they do organising the climate strikes in the city.